Now, Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. And welcome to Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam and Pearson. How are you, sir?
Well, thank you.
Well, let's get into this one. Liberal leader Justin Trudeau says Stephen Harper's proposed ban on federal civil servants wearing niqabs is unworthy of the office he holds. Harper's proposed ban would affect a minute number of government employees, but opposition politicians are condemning the proposal as an attempt to distract voters from serious questions about conservative management of the economy. Trudeau says Harper is also trying to pit Canadians against Canadians. What do you make of this, Michael Mulligan?
Well, I mean, there's sort of two levels of the debate. One is sort of the legal analysis about whether this would be permissible or not, and I suppose we may get there depending on the outcome of the next election. My judgment is that Mr. Trudeau may be correct. This is a debate which is in a position which is unworthy of a Canadian prime minister. It's an embarrassment that we would have a prime minister who would try to use this sort of an issue to divide people. It's the basest sort of politics. He should be embarrassed for taking the position in a crass way to try and get votes. It's inappropriate and an embarrassment.
CFAX listeners, what do you think of Harper's proposed ban on civil servants wearing niqabs? 250-386-1161, star 1070 on your cell phone. You can email us, talk@cfax1070.com. You can also find us on Facebook. We did put this poll question up. Is the niqab face covering an important issue for you in this election? Get this, 57% say yes, no, 42%. So you can vote on our website and you can call my show right now. Michael, let's get into the potential legal issues stemming from this, from a human rights perspective. Where might this go?
Well, the two court decisions that so far have dealt with the policy to require this garment to be removed at citizenship ceremonies, they haven't even needed to get into the constitutional issue, which would ultimately be whether this is a breach of somebody's freedom of religion and conscience. And it seems to me exceedingly likely that it would be. They've been able to strike down the policy position on the basis that it's simply inconsistent with the law and regulation. So they haven't even needed to get into the legal debate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure that they've spoken to their lawyers and they know that it's going to impress some. Let's see what Diane has to say. Hi, Diane. Thanks for calling CFAX. What do you think?
Well, I think it's just the tip of the iceberg. I'm just wondering, if I was lying in a hospital bed and somebody came in with the hijab, I wouldn't know if it was an imposter or if it was the doctor or, you know, who it was, or a nurse, or, I mean, it just boggles my mind, really, that you could just go unidentified. Anyways, that's my opinion.
Thanks, Diane, and it's niqab that we're talking about here. Michael, what about people's concerns about being able to recognize the situation just brought to light there?
Well, I think it's one of the things that if you want to live in a multicultural country that's tolerant of people with different religious beliefs and opinions, this is one of the things which, as a matter of principle, we need to be understanding of and tolerant of. If you go down the road of banning people wearing things as a result of their religion or conscience, you have the effect of excluding members of the community from employment, and that's, in my judgment, not appropriate.
Let's see what Elizabeth has to say. Good morning, Elizabeth. You're on CFAX. Thank you for calling.
I'm on Elizabeth. I'm Elizabeth. Just a minute. I'll get the other phone.
Okay, Elizabeth, you call us back.
This is the land phone is better.
Okay, you call us back on the land phone. 250-386-1161, star 1070 on your cell phone. You can email us, talk@cfax1070.com, and you can also find us on Facebook. David writes in the unlikely event of someone in a niqab being involved in a crime, how does one report the description to police? Will the police be able to secure an arrest and subsequent conviction based on the color of the eyes?
Well, I suppose that seems rather remote. It's not something which, in my long experience as a criminal lawyer, has ever arisen. But the other practical reality of it is if somebody wants to put on a mask to rob a bank, they're going to do that. They need not rely on a freedom of religion in order to do so.
Okay. Lots of people want to weigh in on this one, and let's be respectful of people. Thank you. Larry. Hi, Larry. You're on CFAX.
Good morning. How are you?
Just fine. Thank you.
Good. I think this business of this niqab, it should be banned in Canada. It's hiding their identity. You don't know what who they are. It's a threat to security, really, and religious beliefs. They can leave them what they want. And they can, they're welcome to wear their niqab around their home or whatever, but out in the face of the public and so on and so forth, I think it's ridiculous. You know, you got masked bandits in the old days, you know. They robbed stagecoaches in the old days.
Well, Larry, we're talking about a ban being proposed by Stephen Harper on federal civil servants.
Well, who is to know who they really are? You know, you have our government offices where there's supposed to be security in that. Who do they know who they are? An employee could be switching their identity with somebody, you know, to wear this facial garb. You don't know who they are.
Thanks, Larry. Let's put your thoughts to our legal expert, Michael Mulligan.
Well, in my judgment, this is an effort to try and play into the basest of people's views, trying to tie in with anti-Muslim sentiment, religious prejudice. In my judgment, the articulated reasons for supporting a policy such as this simply don't withstand scrutiny. And in my judgment, this is simply a base effort which is should be beneath somebody who's in the position of prime minister to try and play on hatred and fear in an effort to get votes.
Let's get to a different Diane. Hi, Diane, you're on CFAX.
Yes, good morning. 2 points. The suggestion was made earlier on that only in a private room with the people who are performing ceremony should she be asked to remove the covering from her face and then put it back on and go back into the ceremony. And they said earlier on your program that the women choose to do this. I find that hard to believe. And also one more point, it's not that long ago since a woman, it may have been a woman, because she was blown up, but somebody dressed as a woman went into a building over on the other side of the world and blew people up.
Thanks, Diane. I'm going to cut you off there because we got a lot of people calling. I just want to point out that I did live in London, England, and niqabs are everywhere. It's part of daily society. Let's get your thoughts, Michael Mulligan, on the idea that these could be used by terrorists.
Well, I mean, I suppose it's the same level of concern you might have about people wearing toques in the winter. And if we think we need to ban toques in order to protect ourselves from terrorists, we are seriously misguided.
Let's get to John. Hi, John. You're on CFAX. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi. To the lawyer, can a practicing lawyer wear a niqab in court to defend a client?
There would be no prohibition on doing that.
We are entering a new world. We're with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam and Pearson here on Legally Speaking. Plenty of calls to come. Stay with us here on CFAX 1070.
Email talk at CFAX1070.com. Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070. When news breaks, Victoria counts on CFAX 1070.
This is just coming into the newsroom. Police are reporting.
If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
At Purolator, it's not a package. It's a promise, which is why they help small businesses like yours deliver your promises to your customers every day for less. Open a Purolator business account and save 40% for 1 year. Purolator. Promises delivered.
Time is running out. The Volkswagen 10 Days to Get a Jetta event ends soon. Now is the time to finance select pre-owned Jetta models at 0% for 60 months. And when you do, you'll find the best and largest selection of Volkswagen models to choose from. There's less than 10 days left on this offer. Go now. Get your certified pre-owned Volkswagen Jetta before October 10th. Conditions apply. See your dealer or visit VW.ca for full details.
Do you have what you need to vote on October 19th? You should have received a voter information card from Elections Canada telling you when and where to vote. If it has the wrong name, or if you didn't get one, call 1-800-463-6868 or visit elections.ca. Elections Canada has all the information you need to be ready to vote.
Are mobility issues or medical conditions compromising your bathing independence? This is Terry Moore saying Safe Step Tubs allows you to be safe in the tub. Call for a free in-home consultation and receive 75% off of your installation. Safe Step Tubs will include the heated seat at no charge, regularly a $600 cost. Phone Safe Step Tubs today for a free in-home consultation at 1-855-515-3000 or visit them at safesteptubs.ca. That's 1-855-515-3000 or safesteptubs.ca.
Same day delivery from Columbia Fuels. It's just one service that makes us better. Choose Columbia Fuels to deliver warmth and comfort to you and your family. And when you call us before noon, we'll deliver your home heating oil that very same day. Some conditions apply. Sign up now for automatic delivery and choose your reward. Learn more about our new home heating offers and rewards, including Air Miles Reward Miles, at columbiafuels.com/promo. Columbia Fuels. Service excellence since 1993.
Direct from Las Vegas, from the creators of Oh What a Night, 4x4. Four exciting performers live. 4x4. With that feel-good music you grew up with. A fabulous tribute to the Beach Boys, the Beatles, the Bee Gees, and Motown. In one great show. 4x4. Thursday, November 5th, 7 p.m. The McPherson Playhouse, Victoria. Call 386-6121. Relive the memories.
At Purolator, it's not a package. It's a promise, which is why they help small businesses like yours deliver your promises to your customers every day for less. Open a Purolator business account and save 40% for 1 year. Purolator. Promises delivered.
The biggest hits and the stories behind them. The Big 45 with Corey Polkinghorne. Sundays at 2 on CFAX 1070. The biggest news events, the stories in our community. Understood. It's Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back to Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam & Pearson. This is what we're talking about. Liberal leader Justin Trudeau says Stephen Harper's proposed ban on federal civil servants wearing kneecaps is unworthy of the office he holds. Harper's proposed ban would affect a minute number of government employees, and opposition politicians are condemning the proposal as an attempt to distract voters from serious questions about conservative mismanagement of the economy. To the phones and Graham. Hi, Graham. You're on CFAX. What do you think?
Yes, I think it's absolutely shocking that Mr. Harper's doing this, and because I quite agree with Michael Mulligan. This is an outrageous behavior from somebody in public office. I think that I notice he says they're going to look at it. What it'll be struck down. Another waste of money and a distraction. And actually, I think people like Mr. Harper could do with covering his face because it's rather ugly. And there's a book out called The Ugly Canadian. Maybe some people should read that.
Mm. You. Forceful thoughts, Graham. Thank you for calling. Michael Mulligan, your reaction. We are hearing an abundance of callers saying, and I think they're learning about kneecaps as well. But what do you think about the legality of this? And as some politicians are suggesting, this is a stunt to divert attention away from Harper's economic record.
In my judgment, there's no doubt this is an embarrassing stunt being pulled that should be beneath the Prime Minister. The question for people is not whether you want to wear a jab or Najib or anything else. It's a question of whether we're going to live in a society which is going to be tolerant of differences. You may wish to wear a turban, you may not. You may wish to wear a cross around your neck, you may not. The question is not whether you think that those are good or bad things to do. The issue is whether you want to live in a country which is going to try and impose majority views on the minority. In my judgment, that is not the sort of place we want to live in. And to try and play up hatred of minority groups in an effort to get votes is an embarrassment.
Let's get to Bob. Hi, Bob. You're on CFAX. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Why is Mr. Harper then allowing immigration for people who wear the niqab before ahead of time? Why not just kick all Muslims out? That's the way it's going. We've just signed this big treaty. And a lot of these, like Malaysia and all these countries, are very Muslim. We're going to get a very bad reputation for this in the world. Do you know any other governments that do things like this?
Interesting points, Bob. Michael, he brings up the point of us doing business. I mean, the country of Malaysia, which is where Petronas is based, which is what Christy Clark and the Liberals are trying to do a deal with this company to bring an LNG plant into Prince Rupert. What do you make of that perception externally of what Prime Minister Harper is suggesting be done?
That's a legitimate concern. It's sort of like what happens to the reputation of a country like Russia. When they pass sort of anti-gay legislation. It does about the same thing to the reputation of Canada if we are to be adopting the sort of intolerant, hate-based policies that Mr. Harper is advocating for here.
Karen writes in, I'm nearly crying sitting listening to this segment. The fear and ridiculous leaps of fantasy of ordinary Victorians just shows how effective Stephen Harper's Republican-style reach into their minds has been. The idea of suppressing religious freedom of any Canadian is sedition against the Canadian Constitution. Michael.
I think that person is correct. We have a constitutionally protected right to freedom of religion, freedom of expression, freedom of conscience. Those are the fundamental values of this country. If this matter were ever to get to the point of being litigated, I think I can predict with some degree of accuracy what the likely outcome would be. But we shouldn't be going there. The fact that you would have a government or a prime minister who was proposing to constrain religious freedom in this way in an effort to get votes is embarrassing. And it shouldn't be the sort of matter which the courts have to deal with.
Let's see what Xander has to say. Good morning, Xander. You're on CFAX.
I think the brush is a little bit broad here by this lawyer. There's a lot of people that are very tolerant of immigration, but a lot of people as well, and I can tell you I know a lot of them, that are against a face covering. And my question is, how many women that are wearing these face coverings are wearing because they want to? Not because they've been brainwashed, but it's part of their faith and they have to wear them. And also,
I'm not going to take that kind of comment on this program when it comes to slamming religion. Michael, the first part of what he said might have some merit.
Well, I'm not sure that it has much merit, frankly. If there's a concern about somebody being required to wear a religious garment, I suppose we should deal with that. But that is not what's being proposed here.
Hi, Stephen. You're on CFAX 1070. What do you think?
I have a question. With the picture for the passport and when they're crossing, do they have to take it off?
Michael, do you know the answer to that?
I don't know what the position would be in terms of the passport photograph, but I don't see any reason why that couldn't be accommodated. In terms of the swearing the oath for the purpose of citizenship, the solution to the concern is an obvious one, and the person who litigated it obviously dealt with it. She said, look, I'm happy to take this off and have somebody identify me or have the have a female citizenship judge deal with the oath. It's simply not an issue of identification. So in terms of passport control, my understanding of the way that would work is that you would have a photograph of the person not wearing the religious garment, and then if they attend to the go through passport control, they could be asked to go into a private room, remove it, and identify the person.
Let's go to Kathy. Hi, Kathy. You're on CFAX.
Hi there. Have you ever heard of Rashid Raza
Your lawyer friend likely doesn't, because he doesn't want anything that opposes the freedom of rights, but he doesn't believe in it, really.
What's your point, ma'am?
The point is that the niqab has nothing to do with religion. The covering is not a religious requirement for Muslim women. This is this is written in the post. It's out of Toronto. And they said it definitely has nothing to do with religion. It's just a... They want to do it, and it's what other countries have already banned this.
Kathy, I'm going to take your point there, and just point out that I'm doing my very best to get Mohammed Gilan on from the Victoria Mosque, so he can field those kinds of questions. I believe better than Michael Mulligan would be able to do. Michael.
Well, I'd say this. Whether this is something which is required by a person's religion is not for that caller to determine, nor is it for a newspaper to determine. That is for a person to determine themselves. If they have decided that their religion requires them to wear a turban or to wear a cross or to wear another item of clothing, that is for them to determine, not for the majority to vote on or for the editorial board of a newspaper.
Hi, Nelson. You're on CFAX. What do you think?
Well, I just wanted to say that identifying a person shouldn't be a problem. I went through the ceremony recently, and the people involved were very thorough in making sure that we spoke the oath and who we were. So hiding behind something is not the issue. It's just our so-called prime minister's attempt at perverting whatever democracy we have.
Thank you, Nelson. Michael Mulligan, are we playing into the hands of Stephen Harper and his strategist as we speak? By having this discussion, opposition members are saying, and Liberal leader Justin Trudeau, that this is a diversionary tactic, and that's why it's been thrown out right now, when the real issue is the Conservatives' management of the economy.
There's no doubt it is. This is a transparent effort by the Conservative government to try and use hatred and fear to generate votes for them. There is no actual problem of identifying people for the purpose of the citizenship ceremony or otherwise. This is a transparent attempt to use hatred and religious and prejudice in order to get votes.
We've got 1 minute left. Tell us about the new ID requirements so that people who want to vote can do it.
This is important if you want to be able to do something about this. The current government also passed an act which makes it more difficult to vote. It used to be you could show up using your voter registration card as a piece of ID. That won't work anymore. You need to make sure you bring with you a driver's license or other provincial or government ID with your photograph and current address. If you don't have that, you need to make sure you bring two pieces of ID, one of which needs to include your current address. The details of that are on the Elections Canada webpage. That was a change which appears to have been motivated by a desire to disenfranchise young people and others that may not have ID with their current address on it. So make sure you check that so you can show up and vote.
Well, as ever, fascinating having you in and fielding these questions. It's a remarkable piece of history that we're living through right now. Thank you so much. And tune in next week for more of Michael Mulligan. You've been listening to Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan.